Welcome to Whitechapel Church Online. You're currently listening to preaching from our Sunday services. We believe that when the preaching happens, that collectively we're hearing the Word of God, that God's Word has the power to change who we are. We also believe that God can meet you right where you're at, and that He has a Word specifically for you. We hope that you enjoy today's sermon, and we would love to have you at an in-person service. Head over to whitechapelchurch.com to get more info. Enjoy the sermon and be blessed.
We're continuing to look at what does it mean to follow Jesus? How is it possible for us to follow Jesus? And we're going to go through... I'm going to bring up a previous scripture to look at today, but we're going to continue going through where we have been, what it is like to follow Jesus, and how, as His children, can we keep following Jesus. And I want to start this morning actually with a verse going back to something that we read last week that I just can't get out of my mind, and I keep coming back to this passage of scripture from Mark chapter 8, verse 33. So the disciples have been following Jesus for a little while, and then Jesus is having a conversation with Peter, or Simon, as we saw him in Scripture earlier. And then we get to this in Mark 8:33, and this is what it says. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." And I cannot get this verse out of my mind. I've been thinking about this verse, and what would it have been like to have been Peter, and then you just give up everything to follow Jesus? You've started with those steps in a relationship with Jesus. You're following Jesus one step at a time. You trust Jesus one step at a time. And then early in the journey, you're having a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus turns and he looks at you and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." What are some strong words here, right? Could you imagine just spending some time with some of your friends? You're just maybe at their house. You're out spending some time at a football game or recreation. You're doing something with your friends. And this friend who talked to you a while back and said, "Hey, would you give up your family business? Would you walk away from all of that? And would you just come and spend some time with me?" And wondering where you're going. And then... after you get a little ways in that journey, your friend comes and looks at you and he says, "Hey, get behind me, Satan." What's some strong words that Jesus has actually said to Peter here, right? I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall or a mouse in the corner to just take a look at Peter's face whenever Jesus said that. Now, we learn from Scripture a little bit about the personality of Jesus. Are a little bit about the personality of Peter. Peter was that guy who went from 0 to 100 in like 1.2 seconds, right? Like, I mean, he was that fast. But here, Jesus is actually confronting him, and the thing that we can't forget is the last part. I'll put it on the screen for you because I want you to catch this. Jesus said, "Okay, get behind me, Satan," to Peter. Strong, strong words. But then here at the end, he says, "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." So here Jesus is giving us the insight into what's going on in Peter. Jesus, of course, being all-knowing, right? He knew what was going on in Peter's mind and Peter's heart and what he was processing, if you will, in that moment. And Jesus went right to the core of it and he said, "Listen, you're not worried about what I'm worried about, but instead you're worried about yourself, the human concerns." Now I want to take a look at 1 Peter today. Because that same Peter that Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," is the same Peter sometime back we went through the book of Acts, and that same Peter is the one who stood up and on the day of Pentecost preached a message that everyone was able to hear in their own language or understand in their own language, and thousands of people gave their life to Jesus Christ. Went on and became one of the first leaders of the church, one of the ones who was in the Council of Jerusalem. And then we look at his writings today in 1 Peter chapter 1. So that same Peter is the one who actually wrote 1 Peter. And we're going to look at Peter's words. And I would imagine that whenever Jesus says to somebody, "Get behind me, Satan," that's something that's going to stick with you probably for the rest of your life. If one of your friends ever came up to you and in a moment said to you, "Get behind me, Satan," that's something that you're going to remember, right? And so with that in mind, Peter's actually formed the rest, or allowed that to shape the rest of his life. "Get behind me, Satan. You are not concerned about the things of God, but instead you're concerned with human concerns, human desires, human wants." And so Peter has lived his life with that experience, and then that's shaped his ministry and his life going forward. Years later, we get to 1 Peter, Peter's actually writing, and we get to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start reading this morning in verse 13, because I want you to keep that in mind as we read through what Peter has actually written here to the church as an encouragement. Peter says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Let's stop there for just a second, because I want to talk about that. You can actually begin to see here how Peter's experience back in Mark chapter 8 has shaped his life, and it's now come up in his writings to the church, where he's saying to the church, "Hey, I once was a person that was focused on myself. I had self-desires. There was no obedience that was inside of me. I was just living my life for myself. I was going to work. I was doing the best I could to provide for my family. I was operating as a good person. However, what I realized in that," Peter would say to us, if you read between the lines here of what he's saying, "what I realized in all of that, after I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, I was living an unclean life all about myself, as opposed to what I should be living for, which was Jesus Christ." And so Peter is saying, "I was a selfish person. I was living life all for me, but then I responded to the grace of Jesus Christ." He says, "as the grace that you have been given through Jesus Christ, as I responded to the grace of Jesus Christ, I became a new creature, a very new being. That old life," Paul would tell us, "was gone, and I am a new creation, and in that I am no longer self-centered, but instead I am centered on Jesus Christ." Jesus said, "Get behind me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." That is leaking out from Peter here in his writings. Verse 15, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" That's a passage of scripture we'll look at here just in a minute from the Old Testament, from the book of Leviticus. Verse 17, "Since you call on a father who judges each man's works impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." So what is it that's actually taking place here? I want to take you back to give you a little bit of insight in this, actually to maybe some of our childhoods, or maybe some of you actually still have this today. I remember growing up, we would have special times in our house. That whenever we would have like all of the family over, we had in a china cabinet some china that we didn't use every single day. It was precious china. And whenever you use the china, I remember as a kid, you had to be so careful with that china. My grandmother's china had on the edge of the plates and the edge of the bowls, it had like this metal strip all the way around that, that I actually learned the hard way, you couldn't put that in the microwave. Because when you put that metal strip in the microwave, you get sparks that come. And so, I was interested in the sparks, my grandmother was upset that I was putting china in the microwave. Because china only went in the china cabinet, and it was something that was different than all of the rest of our common dishes. Now, listen, we were not like these highfalutin people. I'm just a boy from Southeast Missouri, and to be able to even have china was a very, very precious thing, right? I'm completely fine eating on Corel plates. I love those types of plates that have these amazing designs that we would save our stamps, and we would go to the grocery store, and we would get to get some extra plates. Do you remember those? Yep, that's my kind of plate that we actually use. But whenever there were special occasions, we got to use the china. The china was not everyday stuff for us. It was something that was set apart. This word holy here that Peter is actually using for us is simply translated in the English as being set apart for a specific purpose or a specific use. Much like we treated our china that we would use only on Easter or we would use only on Christmas. It wasn't every day. It wasn't common. There was a special plan and a special purpose for that china. And what Peter is actually telling us here, remembering that Jesus actually said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, because you do not have a heavenly mindset. Instead, you have human concerns that you're actually leading and living your life with." Now, Jesus was not calling him Satan. What he was saying is you were operating the same way that Satan would actually operate, in a very selfish manner, in a very common manner, living your life with human concerns above concerns for the things of God. What Peter is saying here is God has set you apart once he has redeemed you and you have received his grace for a special plan and a special purpose. And the choice here is up to you on whether you want to choose and live a Mark 8:33 life the way that Peter was in that moment, a life self-centered, every common way that you can imagine, gathering desires or feeding your own desires, or do you want to live a life for God that is set apart for his special plan and his special purpose for your life? This is at the heart of what it actually means to follow Jesus. And so whenever Jesus was calling his first disciples, and he simply said, "Hey, follow me," what he was really saying is, "I'm going to take you on a journey that is going to get to the very end of you overcoming and crucifying those selfish desires, and I'm going to get you to a place to where you are set apart, where you are a holy, chosen people, living a life for God and the plan and purpose that he actually has for you." But you remember what we've talked about all along in talking about following Jesus, the way that you get there is simply one step at a time. You move in the direction of following God step by step by step by step. You don't go from 0 to 100 just in a snap. You slowly chase after the things of God, and what you will begin to discover is that selfish desire or that selfish want that is inside of you dims slowly over time, and then you become who God actually desires for you to be. I want you to look at verse 13, and I want to focus on this verse for just a second this morning. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed." It's interesting to me that Peter leads this section where he talks about being holy with that specific verse. He really dives into some deep matters here just in one verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "Prepare your minds for action." I love the way that he starts with that specific phrase. Prepare your minds for action. What I think that we could really say here, if we would to maybe give a little bit of a literal translation of what's taking place, what I think Peter is saying is God is leading you on a journey. He's never going to leave you the way that he found you. Prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds to take a step, is what we've been talking about. Prepare your minds for the next step that God has for you in following him. Don't just be content with where you're at and who you are in this moment, but instead, Peter says, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for the journey of following Jesus. And then right after that, at the very end of that, he says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. What Peter is now saying to us is the way that you begin this journey, the way that you take action in your life to being a holy person, is through the grace of Jesus Christ. We sang a song this morning about God being holy. Listen, because we have all been scarred by sin, there is not one of us who has ever been or will ever be holy. Every one of us have a chip in our china, if you will. Every one of us have been scarred and touched by sin and demonstrated sin in our life. And Peter is saying, as you prepare for action in following Jesus, to take that next step in following him, what you have to rely on 100% is the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. Because as we have been called to be holy, there's no way that we could ever achieve that or live up to that mark. If the mark is here, we're way, 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 way down there. And we would never be able to get there. And Peter says, as you think about the action of following Jesus in the next step, you have to remember that the way that you actually get there is the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is nothing that we would ever be able to do because we did not offer our bodies as a sacrifice so that we could live in right relationship with God. But instead it was God who came in the flesh and gave of himself and paid that price so that we would be able to be who God actually desires for us to be. That separated and holy people that he wants us to be. The Greek word here is hagios. It literally means to be sanctified. The concept here is consecrated, hallowed, sanctification, and actually literally being a saint. Now, we think of saints because of what some churches who identify saints, we think that saints have to go above and beyond. That they have to get to this place to where they truly have lived an entire life of sacrifice, and then at some point they would be able to achieve sainthood by a vote of a council or by a vote of those that are leaders or in authority of the church. And there is a process of actually becoming a saint. What Peter is saying to us here is you are a saint of God. You've been set apart, and God does not view you as a very common individual. God views you as his, that he paid the price for. And listen, if Jesus has bought something with his blood, it is valuable and worth all of his blood. This is who God has viewed you as his saints, as his set apart, as his holy people. And Peter is saying, this is what God wants you to be. He remembers the conversation from Mark chapter 8, verse 33, where Jesus said, you have a problem, Peter, that you need to address in your life. You are not operating with a heavenly agenda, but you are operating with a human agenda. And what we see in Peter's life play out in his time spent with Jesus is Peter exchanged that. Now, there are absolutely times that Peter reverted, right? Remember when they came to arrest Jesus and Peter drew the sword and cut off the ear of the soldier arresting Jesus? Peter was rebuked again. Do you remember whenever they questioned Jesus or questioned Peter about Jesus. Do you know, were you just with this Jesus? And three times Peter actually denied Jesus. Peter was stepping back into that old fleshly way, not operating with a heavenly mindset, but operating with those human concerns. And so the encouragement for us is the same man who lived Mark 8:33, writing to us about being holy, had moments where he actually failed because he was in the flesh. Peter was not 100% perfect, is what I'm saying, but he was constantly taking steps to follow Jesus. And in those moments that he stumbled on the way, he repented, he got back up and turned back towards God, rebuking the heavenly or rebuking the human concerns and operating with a holy mindset, chasing God's agenda for his life. And so Peter then says, be holy. Take a look at verse 15. He says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 8. God says this to his people, keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. God's actually reminding his people here, who does the work for us? He says, I want you to be holy. The expectation is that you would operate as his saint, that you would operate not with the human concerns leading, but with the heavenly agenda, and that you would operate as a holy people. But God says, don't worry about trying to be holy. Don't worry about doing the work to achieve holiness. He says, I am the Lord, and I make you holy. You see, a part of being holy is simply following Jesus. Do you remember what we said the first week, and we've said it a couple of times since then? As long as you are following behind God, you will never be where you should not be. But you have to keep following God. And in the moments that you veer off of the path and you are somewhere where God does not desire for you to be, you repent, you get back on the agenda, and you move forward. You live that Mark 8:33 and then the Mark 8:34 verse where Peter was confronted with a choice and Peter began to actually follow Jesus. I want to point out something that we've got to understand about holiness. Holiness is nothing that you can ever do. I want to say that again, because being a part of the holiness movement that we're a part of in the Church of God, sometimes we have reduced holiness to a list of rules and do's and don'ts. And we say, if you want to be God's child, then you do this and you do not do this. And you should go here and you should not go there. And over the years, we have dictated the way that you dress as a holy individual. We've dictated the words that you say as a holy individual. We've dictated some of the practices that you have as a holy individual. But what we've done in doing all that is that we have put the burden of being holy on our shoulders instead of the responsibility of being holy on his shoulders. And listen, I am all for a holiness movement. I am all 100% about being a part of the holiness movement and would probably fight you otherwise, right? Because God's command for us is to be holy just as he is holy. That's what Peter has asked us to do here. But what we have to remember is the responsibility of holiness is not on us. The responsibility of holiness is actually on him. God said, keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. There's two parts of responsibility here. The first is his responsibility. He does the work for us. He died for us, he paid the price for our soul, and in that, he gave us the opportunity as a new creature in him to live a holy life. That's a choice that we make. That choice is an every day, every second choice of simply following him. But if you really grasp what God is saying here, is He is the one who has done the work for us. He is the one who cleans us up and actually makes us holy. He is the one who gives us the power through His Holy Spirit to remain a holy people. It is not on us. It is not, the weight is not a weight that we actually carry. That's the weight that He took off of us. If it was all about us, then there would have been a perfect group of people living all throughout the Old Testament whenever God gave the laws and said, here, just live up to these laws. But you know what? They proved that they couldn't do it. And they needed a Savior to pay the price with His own blood. And God said, I will make you holy. I will make you holy. And we have the blessing of living here on this side of the cross of Jesus Christ. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 11, and that is what some of you were. He's talking about the wretched sinners before this verse that we actually were. But you were washed. Who washed us? Jesus Christ. You were sanctified. Who sanctified us? Jesus Christ. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see who's doing all the work here? It's not us. It's Him. It's Him that's doing the work. He washed us. He sanctified us. He justified us. And He sustains us every single day of our lives if we will follow Him. That's the choice for us. It's not about the do's and the don'ts. It's not about the wear this or the don't wear that. It's about choosing to follow Him. And if we follow Him, then those things will come about. Because we're not living as Peter was in Mark chapter 8, verse 33, with human concerns or human desires, but instead we're operating on that which only He wants for our lives. God is the one who is desiring to make you holy. He desires to sanctify you, to set you apart from the rest of the world for his sake. God wants to do this work in every single one of us. And I believe that as we've been looking at Jesus' words of following me, we have to understand where we're actually going. Last week we talked about denying ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Whenever we do that work is when we experience God's work of sanctification in our life, of actually making us holy, being set apart, being made by God and for God's purpose. So the question for us that we've got to grasp from what Peter has written to us is, how do you do that? What does that look like? How are we setting ourselves apart? I want you to look at verse 18 and verse 19. Verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. Just as Melissa shared with us as we began our service this morning, we have to understand who we are in Jesus Christ. We have to understand the worth and the value that once God has redeemed our life, we actually have that worth and that value. I've heard countless pastors through the years of my life say that if you were the only person on this earth, God would have still come as Jesus in the flesh to redeem you and pay the price for your soul. Do you understand the value that God actually places on who you are? Do you understand the price, the worth that you actually have because Jesus died for you? And whenever we identify who we are in Him, then we begin to operate as His sons and His daughters here on this earth. Not as mere just commoners, but we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We can actually go to the throne of God because of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And with this, We are his holy people, set apart for his work. What I believe that Peter is saying to us here in verse 18 and 19 is you have to be courageous and blunt about who you actually belong to. Because when you understand who you belong to, then you understand who you are in him. But you know what we do? We keep reducing our lives down to Mark 8:33 lives, operating with human concerns to satisfy our life with the desires that we actually have. And we think what I want in this moment is more important than anything else. Instead of understanding that we are children of the King of the Most High God, and with that we have all of the benefits of being a child of the King. You're a child of the King. You are a child of the King. Think about those words. And in the moments where the enemy comes and he's planting seeds of defeat and seeds of want and desire in your mind, you've got to stand up confidently and bluntly and say, listen, I'm not taking the bait because I am the child of the King. And Jesus reminded us that we have that power and authority operating here today as his sons and his daughters. In fact, he told his disciples, you're going to do greater things than I actually did. Because he said, I'm going away to the Father. And you as my sons and daughters are going to keep living here on this earth. But do you know where it all starts every moment of every day? Is making that next step to simply follow Jesus. To be his holy sons and daughters here on this earth. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said it this way, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As you begin to follow Jesus and take those next steps, then your light is shining into the darkness that's all around you. Why? Because you're God's son and you're his daughter. You're following him and you're not chasing human desires, but you're letting the light of Jesus Christ shine all around you to drive out the darkness, operating as his sons and his daughters. Verse 14, look at verse 14 again here. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all that you do. Peter says, do not succumb to the ignorance where you used to live. Don't go back to that, but keep following Jesus. Keep chasing after him. Keep taking the next step. Don't go back to sin. Don't go back to the evil desires. Don't go back to selfish ways of living. You don't live there anymore. You are holy. You are set apart. You have been washed and sanctified and justified. You are God's son and his daughter. So live as his sons and his daughters. Don't live in the rubbish of this world, but rise above that as a people who've been set apart as God's children. Follow him, chase after him, and accept the royal inheritance that he has given to us. That inheritance is not just about a place of heaven. That is a part of it. But it is also about the here and the now. We're going to be holy people in heaven, but he expects us to be his holy people in the right here, in the right now. Let me give you a verse from 2 Chronicles Chapter 16, verse 9, going back to the Old Testament. I love the way that this verse is a good reminder for us. And so I wanted to share it with you today. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You see, if you follow Jesus, God will do the sanctification work inside of you. He strengthens your heart if you're fully committed to him. God will do the work, but you just have to do the work of following him. This is what it means to follow Jesus. This is holy living. Just keep taking the next step. Keep taking the next step. When you fall, get up. Don't let the enemy tell you that you are a worthless sinner. Remind him that you're a child of the Most High God. Repent from the sin and keep following after Jesus. Live the life that's washed, that's sanctified, that is justified. This is holy living, chasing after and following God. And then what we will experience in our life is all of the junk inside of us, all of the rubbish inside of us will begin to wash itself out. Because wherever God lives, those things can also live. And if God lives in your heart, then you can't have all of the rubbish and sin from the world living there as well. He does the work of sweeping out and cleaning out our hearts so that we don't chase human concerns. We chase and follow after Him alone. But we have to be committed exclusively to Him. There's an illustration I read this week. I want to share with you because as I read this and I thought about this, I thought, man, that's exactly how some of us live. Let's say that there was a millionaire, a billionaire, we'll say a trillionaire even, that came to your house next week and he says to you, hey, I would love to come and live with you. And if you just let me come and live with you, I'm going to take care of everything all around you. We're going to fix up where you live, and it's going to be brought up to my standards. We're going to begin to eat different because we're not going to eat what you're eating. We're going to eat my food. We're not going to sleep in that old bed that you've got. We're going to upgrade, and we're going to make everything perfect. So you're going to sleep in my bed. But you don't have a pool? We're going to take care of that. We're going to put a pool. You don't have a view? Don't worry about that. We're going to take care of all of that for you. You don't like the car? You can drive any one of my 50 cars that I actually have. Do you want to spend some time in the yacht? Get away from the house? We're going to take care of a yacht. We're going to go out on the yacht. You'll have full access to all of that. Oh, you want to do some traveling? Don't worry about it. I've got a Learjet. I've got the pilot. We'll take care of all that. We'll be able to go anywhere that you want to go on the planet. Is there anybody here that would say no to that? I didn't think so. I bet I just wanted to make sure. We wouldn't say no to that, right? But let's then go the next step. This trillionaire that's come to our house is going to lay down a few conditions to the acceptance of what he's actually offering you. You've got to be able to follow after him because the Learjet goes wherever he goes. The yacht goes wherever he goes. The car, they go wherever he goes. You've got to be able to spend time with him and do things as he actually says, because he's the one that is providing actually all of that. But what if you then approach that trillionaire and you said, hey, listen, I get what you're saying here, but I'm just going to lay down some rules for how I want to walk forward in all of this. I don't want to eat with you. I don't want to spend time eating with you. I don't want to spend any time talking with you whatsoever. I don't even want to have you in the same room. So if you would just give me all of my space, you do your thing and just leave me alone and I'm going to do my thing. That probably wouldn't go over too well after he's already made clear what his expectations are in all of this. It's an illustration. As I read that, I thought that's a neat illustration to remind us of the expectations of God in all of our lives. God is willing to provide everything that you actually need. Is he going to give us all a Learjet? Probably not. Is he going to give us a yacht? Is he going to give us 50 cars? No, I don't think that that's the way that God actually operates. But the promise of Scripture is that he gives us everything that we need. He will give us everything that we need if we will follow him and be his holy people set apart for him. And we have to remember with that, there are some expectations. And Peter lays a few of those out here when he says, you have to be obedient children to God. You have to be not conform to the evil desires that you had when you were ignorant, but instead, you have to have a heart for God. This is what it means to follow Jesus. And when you follow Jesus and he does his sanctification work in your life to make you holy, then what you will experience is everything that you need. Not what you desire, but everything that you need is actually provided for you completely. Because even before we know the need, he knows that we need it. There's a story about Charles Spurgeon just dwelling on the verse that says, my grace is sufficient to you. This is what it says. His thoughts drifted until he visualized a small fish in a large river, fearing lest in drinking so many pints of water each day that it might drink the river dry. Then in his mind's ear, he heard the river say, drink away, little fish, my stream is sufficient for thee. Then he thought about a little mouse that might have lived in the great bins of Joseph when he was in Egypt. He could picture the mouse being afraid lest by consuming the corn that he needed, he might exhaust all the supplies and starve to death. When along came Joseph and sensing the mouse's fear said, cheer up, my little mouse, my granaries are sufficient. Charles Spurgeon, after he thought about this, he realized that that's how God has operated in his life. Once he experienced the grace of Jesus that Peter actually talks about here, he experienced that the grace of Jesus was sufficient for him. He experienced that it was the grace of Jesus that empowered him to chase after the heart of God. He experienced it was the grace of Jesus that was sufficient to do the sanctifying work of making him holy every single day of his life. That's God's promise to Charles Spurgeon. That's God's promise to all of his children. And we have to understand that that's God's promise for you as his son and his daughter, if you will simply follow him. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is enough to make you holy. His grace is enough to sanctify you and wash and cleanse every area of your life from the rubbish and the sin of this world. God will do his sanctifying work in your life if you will follow him. The next step of following Jesus is being holy. If you'll let God make you holy, he will do it. He will do it. But you have to yield exclusively to him. Would you be willing to do that this morning? Peter said, be obedient children and do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Would you surrender to that work of Jesus today? Would you surrender to that sanctifying work of Jesus today in your life? To be holy? He is holy. And he wants to make you just like him, holy. But you've got to surrender to him and simply follow him.
Thanks for joining us at Whitechapel Church Online. We pray that today's sermon blessed you and that you'll continue to join us as we lean into God's word together. Until next time, have a great week.